wants to deliver vast amounts of information over the internet. And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And if you don't understand, those tubes can be filled. And if they're filled, when you put your message in, it gets in line. It's going to be delayed by anyone that puts into that tube enormous amounts of material.
Hello. It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of December, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the partially appointed and two black studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming along. It is Wednesday, and welcome to day 12. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program, an excursion into daily whimsicality. Thank you for coming by and making it part of your listening day. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Let me give you the numbers. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you would like to join us electronically today, perhaps over your tube system, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com. And I always assumed that that was George W. Bush, and it's not. I believe his name is Ted Stevens. Is it Ted? Does anybody know? Of course we don't know. He's a senator.
It's from Alaska. It's way up there.
We don't pay attention to anything. We don't pull the map down that far.
It's north in Alaska, as Johnny Horton might say. Well, he's some guy in Alaska who called the... Let me just hear that one more time if I can...
But they want to deliver vast amounts of information over the internet. And again, the internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. And if you don't understand, those tubes can be filled. And if they're filled, when you put your message in, it gets in line. It's going to be delayed by anyone that puts into that tube enormous amounts of material.
It's one of those things where you wish you could look inside his head and understand exactly what he was visualizing.
Oh, maybe thinking of one of those things at the drive-in bank. That tube that comes down.
That thing?
Yeah.
Where you put it, where you have the
so you put your message inside and hit send, and it sends it somewhere.
That's what I should have asked for. Oh, curse my metal body. I wasn't fast enough. That's what I should have asked for with this new studio that they're building us. And I don't mean
guess
to get all
what?
The... I should have asked for one of those bank tube things so we could send messages all over the building and just to do anywhere.
Oh.
We just do one of the...
Are we going to have a shortcut or something like that, too?
A shortcut to where?
So that I can play all the fun sound bites and you don't have complete control over them.
Oh, like an instant replay?
Yeah. Sure,
why not? They're feeling generous. Ask for one.
Well, they're looking into it. I don't know. They're looking at... Here's the thing. I don't wish to be unduly negative about this, but oftentimes we just have to we have to find things that aren't being used by other radio stations.
I don't think Katie Couric uses
things. Things that might perhaps be being covered in dust in different studios.
There's all kinds of things Katie Couric isn't using. Most of the country, for instance. Sorry. Was that out loud?
I heard she's playing very well in Knoxville. We have to give her a chance.
Knoxville's probably one of those cities where that's the only station that comes in. The others are all covered in fuzz. In any event, I don't know. We're looking into it. You all know that we're the most... It's not that we're superstitious as such. It's just I don't believe in tempting fate. Maybe that is superstition. I don't believe in counting my chickens and blah, 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 and all of that stuff. Before anything is... I never believe anything until I see it and touch it with my own two hands. And so I don't want to get all wound up about this because it's going to be several weeks before anything comes to fruition. And you, theoretically speaking, and I always say this and then it's never true. Lycan said the same thing and it wasn't true with him either. We always say things like, you shouldn't notice any difference on your end, but that, of course, isn't true. At some point, we'll move over to our new studios, which are down the road from us, and everything will run badly for 5 or 6 days. That's no reflection on CBS Radio Engineering, by the way, who are supremely gifted and talented at what they do. It's just the way that things are. They move into a new building, and theoretically, you ought to just be able to unplug your series of tubes from one place, you plug in your tube somewhere else, bada-bing, bada-boom, nobody knows any difference. It never really works out that way. You come into the studio, you turn on your on button, suddenly there's screeching peals of feedback pouring out of your headphones, there's goo dripping from the ceiling. ceiling. The carpet is on fire and nothing plays at the right time. And everything, and then you hear a disembodied ghostly voice saying the word six in the background for like 5 weeks. So, anywho, this is a long-winded way of saying that probably in January at some point we're going to move into new studios, which are even as we speak now being constructed by the CBS engineering elves. It's all very exciting. I saw the Formica yesterday. I saw a big rolled-up sheet of Formica that they're going to be putting on a brand new countertop. So
no,
it's true. It's true. So to answer your question, pal, why am I here? I am here on a mission of mercy. To answer your question about the shortcut, by the way, it's a device for chopping up, editing, and playing back audio. It's sort of like a little miniature Pro Tool system that just sits on your desk. I don't know whether we're going to have that or not. Anyway, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to engage with us electronically or in a binary fashion today, by gum, by gosh, by golly, by wow, kids, here's what you do. It's rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com for your comments, your questions, your clarifications, your conventions. Are you being distracted by a picture of a puppy?
We're picking out gifts for pets.
Hello.
Pet parents spend $3 billion at holiday time.
Man, I don't doubt it.
Oh, wow.
I don't doubt it at all. You ought to know this. As soon as we're talking, we might as well just get the dog talk out of the way. Yeah, right. Am I the only one who's astounded that there is... You don't even know what I was going to say.
You're usually not the only one.
I'm amazed that there isn't some sort of a dog talk program. Like some hour-long Saturday...
The Truth About Cats and Dogs?
See, I never saw that because I tried to
see... Oh, it's been done. That was like 10, 15 years ago.
Janine Garofalo and Uma Thurman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try never to see movies about radio because they're always bad. They're always badly done because I'm that guy.
There's a scene with Janine Garofalo... Here's the green.
He did what?
There's a scene with Janine Garofalo
you might enjoy
and Piles of Bling.
No, she's alone in her room.
There's a scene of Janine Garofalo.
She's all by herself.
And
reading.
There's a scene of Janine Garofalo where she says, "I am the king."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, there's a scene of Janine Garofalo.
All the more reason
where she's doing
movie.
Some
well,
messy
she's
baking.
Well, she's, you know, talking to her new friend on the phone who doesn't know what she looks like. And, you know, as the hours go by and they get to know each other more intimately.
Mm. What do you mean,
then
Sarah?
Janine has some tension relief.
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I only play that now because it horrifies me. Scotty's having the screen. Excellent. Well done. Thank you, Scotty. I do live to please. Is it, let's see, one has to tread carefully here. Now, first of all, I never see movies about radio, and not because I'm a snob, but just because I find it difficult to get past that I am that idiot guy. But I also...
You get mad because you see them and nobody's ever wearing headphones.
And I don't want to be that guy. That's what I'm saying.
That happened recently.
In what movie?
It was a Cold Case Files show.
Really? And it was like a radio host wearing no headphones?
Sitting in a glass groupie, box.
And a groupie shot him.
Sitting in like in a plush mahogany-lined studio with a wet bar.
And then when they came back for the break, he was wearing headphones in every shot.
Oh, see,
so
that,
somebody caught it, but they didn't go back and correct it.
So the set dresser caught it, but the continuity person was out to lunch.
Right.
Yeah. See, but the thing is, I don't want to be that guy, though. Because God love her. My wife, you know, she's great. But goddamn, she's been a nurse for like a year and a half now. And it's not that she doesn't know what she's doing. But she's been
we
a nurse for a year
does.
And a half. And yet,
yeah.
for her patient's sake, I hope that she knows what she's doing. But you think she would get this out of her system by now, but she doesn't. We sit there and we'll watch a movie or television, and she'll roll her eyes and, like, really loudly have to announce to the whole room, "Oh, that is not how you take, that is not how you do phlebotomy. Oh, my God." You know, and then I have to hush her. Honey, nobody cares. It's just a movie. But I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be like your Uncle Jed, who flew helicopters in Vietnam and sits there and watch a movie. Well, we watch those war shows on TV sometimes, and we just laugh. They was doing it all wrong. I don't want to be that guy. So I just try not to watch anything that takes place in a radio station because it's either wrong or it's just like Frasier is the worst. Not the worst. The movie Talk Radio with Eric Bogosian is the worst, but Frasier is bad.
Oh, I've seen that.
Talk Radio?
Talk Radio?
It,
where he gets shot?
Yeah, thanks. The robot did it.
No problem.
Okay.
No, they tell you at the beginning.
Huge, they don't tell you in the beginning.
Oh, should I believe that?
It doesn't matter. It's a 40-year-old
movie.
It's like,
yeah, it's like 38 years old.
Oh, yeah.
It's a terrible movie. Don't watch it. And he's infuriating to watch, and then he gets killed, and you're kind of happy.
It's an a-hole who gets shot at the end. You kind of go, well, had it coming. And the worst part about that is, and I'm not going to go on about this, is that Barry Champlain, who is the character played by Eric Bogosian.
That actor drives me crazy.
Eric Bogosian, he can be, I like him in small doses. He can drive me a little wacky. You know, that play, Talk Radio, was first staged in Portland. That is a play, that is a Portland, Oregon originated play, then made into a movie. The infuriating thing about that is that movie and the play and that guy are all based on one of my real life heroes, a guy named Alan Berg. They're just picking the most unlikable bastard. He was a great guy, great talk show host, a legendary figure among talk show hosts. Everybody in the talk show business knows who Alan Berg was. But then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, I can't wait for them to kill Barry Champlain. He's so irritating. But anyway, so it's a terrible film.
I just finished reading this radio book called The Voice on the Radio.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in here.
Yeah.
It's like a mystery book, right? That's like some R.L. Stein thing.
Well, The Face on the Milk Carton, that's fiction, right? Or is that based on a true story?
You mean the real faces on milk cartons? Those are real children.
The movie, you know, with like Kelly Martin on it, is that based on a true story?
I have no idea what the face on the milk carton is.
Where the girl, you know, lives with this family and then she's eating lunch one day and she looks on the side of the milk carton and it's her face.
Tim? That's what I thought.
You guys haven't heard the face on the milk carton?
It's only you. Normally it's only me.
It's not only me. No, so anyway, I guess this is the sequel to it. Called The Voice on the Radio, and it was actually pretty interesting because it's about this guy who gets completely addicted to hearing his own voice on the radio and kind of throws caution to the wind and uses his personal relationships as fodder for the show. Do you know anybody like that?
You shut your mouth. You did the cutest little, like, head turn. Like, do you know anybody like that? Head cock 30 degrees, like a cocker spaniel. Anyway.
I can't believe you even heard of The Face on the Milk Carton.
Sorry, I don't mean to let you down. The thing about that movie, Talk Radio, is that they've got Barry Champlain as play, and it's an Oliver Stone film, so you know that there's like a 1 in 2 chance it'll be bad. But he's in like the most plush studio you could possibly imagine. It's like the size of a football field with huge glass windows, and he's on top of a skyscraper looking over Houston or Dallas or wherever the hell he is. And it's like literally, it's like inlaid walnut finish all around the. And he's got, you know, and he's got like 4 different microphones, and he literally has, I think if you watch that movie, he's got like a wet bar. Like in the corner, he can just be fixing himself a drink while he does the. So there you go. Our new studio will have none of these things. They did give us permission yesterday to put the piranha tank in, as long as I don't ask anybody in human resources or Susan or any of the lawyers about it.
That's all you.
I'm just saying.
I'm not going near that thing.
I'm not going near it either.
Well, you're like the little kid, and Tim and I are the parents.
I'd rather look inside a toilet.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if the push-ups don't work out,
that would be good. If you get a little teeny toilet installed in the corner, wall it off.
Can we have a glass bathroom where you can, you know, where you
or
have
to shower?
You have to shower and be watched by everybody. This conversation has become creepy.
Let's stop.
It's 503-733-2970. Why did we even? How did we get onto this subject? TV, radio, truth about cats and dogs. How did we get onto that subject?
You asked. Is it only me?
Thank you. That's how everything starts. I was just saying an hour ago, I am amazed that there is no talk radio program like a weekend programming aimed just at pet lovers. That
I'm
money
sure
in the bank
syndicated out there.
But see, is there? I haven't ever heard one. It seems like that's bullion in the bank, baby. There's money. Nobody spends money like crazy pet people.
Well, if any of you listening out there would like to do a weekend show about animals.
Stop.
Do not send your tapes here.
Please come.
Send them to the Premier Radio Network.
Be sure not to bathe. That's the other thing. If you're going to be dropping off an air check of some kind, standing in the lobby to ambush me when I'm leaving, trying to badger me into airing your dress, try to take as long as possible between showers. And maybe just go sit on a bus for 5 or 6 days in the sun. And then stand in the lobby and be sure to irritate the receptionist with your inane blather while I'm busy trying to see if I can crawl through the air vents like John McClane style to get to the parking lot without having to speak to anybody.
Dick Van Dyke turns 81 today.
Anywho, Cox, you're... You're on the Rick Emerson Show, Cox.
Okay, so anyway, your little face in the milk carton thing, about the same age as Sarah, and I had to watch, like, the book, or read the book and watch the thing, school, and, yeah, it was, my memory in middle school was much better than that of high school, and, yeah, it was based on a true story, that thing happened.
Okay.
The face radio dilly is probably BS because the lady needs money, but who knows?
Yeah.
Tim and I have no idea what's going on here. This is what it's like to be either really young or really old.
Wow, it's really old then, because that was totally infiltrated. Like, we had to read the book, and then they made, like, three movies about
it. Let me understand this.
And that was the same time as The Outsiders and all that other...
Well, then I should know about it. That's just a weird gap in my knowledge.
And especially you being a fan of Kelly Martin. She's the one who played the girl in the main movie about it.
By the way, Rick...
Am I a fan of Kelly Martin? Who's Kelly Martin?
She was on Life Goes On.
Yeah, I didn't really watch Becca. Life Goes On. I only know it enough to make jokes about the retarded kid. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one.
Thank you. I've already got a good one. Okay. That really was the bet. That was the capper. That was the cherry on the call right there. So before we move on, let's just recap. The face on the milk carton is a woman who looks at a milk carton and realizes that she was abducted as a child.
Okay, yes. Yeah, this girl who's younger, she's sitting in the cafeteria. She looks at this thing. She's like, that looks like me when I was a kid. Starts to investigate. Finds a weird thing in the attic with all these children's clothes. Doesn't have any baby pictures of her. Finds out that her real parents have a daughter named Hannah, who was involved in a cult and was all crazy and kidnapped her while she was younger, then claimed that it was her child and left her with her parents.
We got to do we got to bring back the movies in 60 seconds thing. And you can do all the chick films.
Okay.
All right, fantastic. So that's kind of like that I Know My Name is Steven book.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds almost identical. All right. Boy, that's an effed up story. Have you ever read the whole case about that kid?
I saw the movie.
I Know My Name is Steven, really? I keep meaning to find the book somewhere. But that's just a creepy case. That'll keep you up at night.
Then that kid's brother was a psycho. He ended up in prison.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole
thing. He was like a serial killer.
That'll mess you up, man. Typical
California family.
Wait, which one was I Know My Name is Steven?
That was where the kid was, he was napped at, I don't know, at like 6 or 7 or whatever. And then when he was 15, he kind of had pieced it together that he was not like Ted being raised by blah, blah, blah. That he was Steven. He figured out that he had been kidnapped and the guy wasn't his real dad. And he ran away and discovered his family and found a payphone or something. Anyway, he was raised as this guy's kid, even though he had just been stolen. The guy stole him and then... like that story about a month and a half ago about that girl that was... that British guy kept her like in a cage in his basement for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Stories like that are fascinating to me because... And I'll say this, because there's always a creepy sexual element to those. And I don't mean in the sense that the guy wants a sex slave. I mean, there's always a creepy Helsinki syndrome thing that goes on there where the girl grows to have some weird sexual attraction to the captor.
Okay, that doesn't happen in The Face on the Milk Carton.
No, but it happens, but it does happen, and it happened with this guy in Britain. It's not unlike, The Professional with Natalie Portman and Jean Reno. Hi there.
Mm.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. He's just one large tube. He's Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Hello, sir.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just happy I have a boss that doesn't keep an eye on the time clock.
That's right. That Cox guy was calling from work. He was actually calling from work to talk about The Face on the Milk Carton, which I have never read. So
I remember that movie.
Well, see, now I feel like I got to catch up. You know, there's a whole...
Don't, it's stupid.
Every so often...
It's not stupid. It was a very sad story, Aaron.
It's only good with Corky around.
I'm just saying... You're
frustrating.
Every so often, there are big swaths of pop culture that I realize that I'm either too old for, too young for, just didn't read. You know, like, let me just tell you this, and I know this will horrify Sarah. I have never read any of the R.L. Stine spooky books for children because I'm too old.
Also, I was reading them like
adult.
Fifth grade, so.
You're
a dude.
I'm more of a Babysitter's Club guy. Yeah, are those chick books, those R.L. Stine Goosebumps?
I was a huge fan of
Christopher Pike. I still reread some Christopher Pike books.
Yeah, see, it's another thing I never read. The only R.L. Stine books I ever read were the Choose Your Own Adventure. This became way
too I didn't know Christopher Pike could write.
No. Moving on. All right, here's what we got today. We're going to be speaking to Tracy Guns from L.A.
Woo!
Guns. We'll be talking to him in the 2 o'clock hour. We have a couple pairs of tickets to the LA Guns Bullet Boys Appetite for Deception show, which is happening tomorrow night at Outlaws. We will have today's It's the Worst Way to Die. And this thing I will get to today. Where did I put it? It's right over here. This Tim Riley found this yesterday, and it really is the worst story of the week. It really is just so unbelievably bad. It's that German story that you found.
Oh, yeah.
There's something really bizarre, wrong with Germany, and not in the great way that there's something wrong with Japan. There is something wrong with Japan and something wrong with Florida, but Germany really takes it to the mattresses. They go a whole different way with it. What else do we have here? We have Lisa Goddard. And we have Jim Roop, who's going to comment on a sad passing in the world of show business. And we have, let's see, I'm trying to read my own handwriting here. We'll have more 80s rock trivia and perhaps an installment of News That Hurts. That's what we'll get through today, sir.
Okay.
Excellent. And I'm a what, three?
I don't know how this new thing works. Can you work them? Can you work yesterday's off to try to lessen your weekly count?
No. I can only do them. No. But at the end of the week, I have to do all the push-ups. I can't.
But
do
they
yesterday's.
Can be subtracted. Like if he gets to everything, then they will be subtracted. Then he'll get, have like a minus right. 30.
Yeah, I can't do yesterday's topics today. But if I get to all of today's, you know, then I get to take three off the total, which in this case would bring me back to zero.
Okay.
That's way too hard. All right. There you go. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
There you go. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. We're joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon.
Hello. Coben.
I'm just getting nothing but talk radio. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Those misguided out-of-state mountain climbers, they're still missing a Mount Hood as a savage winter storm with damaging winds is on the way. They may have to give up. A popular actor in a sitcom is dead. The Saudi king reads Dick Cheney the Riot Act on Iraq. The Saudis will support people we don't like with cold, hard cash. Angelina Jolie would like to speak to Jennifer Aniston to reassure her she's not the home wrecker she's perceived as.
Rick, can we have a weekend show about pets called Petophiles?
Now that is creative.
That is funny.
That really is. No, we cannot. Okay, here's a question for Tim. Can you name the best depiction of a radio station in a mainstream Hollywood film? And it's the same one I would have thought of. It is really the only time, except for the movie FM with what's-her-name, Ellen Burstyn, which and Martin Mull, which was, okay, except again, none of them wore headphones. The best depiction, the most accurate depiction of a radio station in a major Hollywood film, Tim Riley.
Well, Play Misty comes to mind.
Play Misty
but
for me.
There are a few things wrong with that.
Such as?
He puts a little tiny 2-inch reel on the machine and leaves for 2 hours and is still playing when he gets back.
I never realized that.
And he's working on the California coast and driving a fancy sports car. I worked on the California coast. And I drove an old sports car with a broom handle to hold up the window.
I don't understand. How did the broom handle hold up the window?
I had to take out the inside of the door and prop the broom handle up to close the window from the inside.
Radio sucks.
This, after many years of experience, it was a plum job working on the California coast.
Fantastic. You're right, too. You're right, and he works at a tiny little... And have you seen Play Misty for me?
It's
no,
Monterey,
no.
Which is a small market.
Monterey is a very beautiful place, small market.
Yep.
Now, see, Play Misty for Me is one of those movies that everybody, I think maybe this time has passed, but when I got into radio, that was what you told everybody. When you got, so, first radio job, huh?
Yeah.
Have you seen Play Misty for Me?
No.
You got to see Play Misty for Me. That's the movie that they would tell all incoming radio, because it's about, it is the original Fatal Attraction. It is about, you know, this girl.
I've heard all about it. I've never.
Crazy, droopy, and the nighttime disc jockey.
Yeah, it's a crazy woman who calls up, and there's a song called Misty, which is a jazz song, and she calls up Clint Eastwood, and she's like, can you play Misty for me? And he does, and then eventually it all goes bad. But you're right. So he's not only a nighttime DJ in a tiny market, but he's on a jazz station, where you know he's getting paid nothing. And you're right, he's driving like a Stingray or something. Okay. And I didn't realize that thing about putting on the small reel, like the little 5-inch or
he
whatever.
He comes back and is still playing at least for 2 hours.
Hours later.
Yeah.
Good times. Okay, this guy had said the best depiction of a radio station in a film was American Graffiti. That's not bad.
I think so. Yeah.
That is really good because he's got the cart machine. It's a tiny little, it sounds glamorous and glorious on the air. And then Ron Howard gets there and it's just, whoa, man, Jack, inside a tiny little room, eating popsicles and being fat. Getting fatter in a chair under bad fluorescent lighting. So that's not bad. I haven't seen American Hot Wax in a long time, but I don't think there are any radio station scenes in that. So I would
have to go with She's Out of Control with Tony Danza.
Tony Danza and Amy Dolan.
It's true. I believe that was a very realistic depiction of it. No.
Let me just say this about She's Out of Control with Tony Danza and Amy Dolan.
I used to rent that movie every weekend with my sister.
Okay. That is a creepy goddamn movie. And mm-hmm. I only... That is like Joe Simpson creepy. Now, you all have not seen She's Out of Control. I can say that definitively. That probably 98% of the people in the sound of my voice have not
heard
that.
Yeah, I've made Nate watch it.
Amy Dolenz, who is Mickey Dolenz's daughter, by the way.
Who's adorable.
She's adorable. And by adorable, we mean jailbait.
And creepy, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about Tony Danza as a wacky dad coming to terms with the fact that his little girl is all grown up. And by all grown up, I'm referring to the fact that there are several scenes, like where she is descending a staircase in slow motion, her ample bosom clearly in
her
view.
Her white panties are flashing.
Her white panties are flashing. And then long close-ups of Tony Danza as her dad looking over going like,
was that, ooh, yeah. No, remember that, oh, yeah. Playing when she's walking down and she's staring at her with her mouth open.
In the background, as Tony Danza is watching his nubile, supple daughter walk down a staircase.
Oh, God, it's wrong.
It's so creepy. It's completely creepy. It's creepy, like, all out of proportion.
Work the mojo. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the pause before the second oh, yeah, that makes that horrible. Oh, yeah.
Oh, and he drives a really super nice car, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's break.
She's just half an hour gone. Half an hour closer to death.
About crappy movies we'll never watch again.
About movies with Amy Dolenz and Tony Danza. Petophiles. Genius. 503-73. You got to watch Play Misty for me. 503-733-2970. Let's see. Who is it? Well, we'll get to Pat when we come back. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard. And later on, Jim Roop, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Tracy Guns. We'll give away some L.A. Guns tickets and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson radio program. I think Play Misty for me. I may be wrong about this, but I think that was the first movie Eastwood directed. Could be wrong about that. I'm pretty sure he did the score for it, though, because he's a jazz musician. All right, then. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. In a few minutes, Lisa Goddard will be joining us from CNN on the Hill. Coming up later on today, well, I just confirmed that we have a post-it-in contest. We'll be doing another installment of Rick Emerson's post-hitting extravaganza with Tom Hunter and our good friend Buzz, who I think is the latest challenger to think of. Because, I'll talk more about it later.
That's production god Buzz?
Yeah, because John Paul, who is the program director for Coupled, he wanted to get right back in it. He's like, I'll take him down again. But I told him he had to sit out like at least 1 week. He had to sit out one round before. He had to cool off a bit before he could come back. So it'll be Tom Hunter, who's the promotions director for KUPL, and our production, our imaging guy, Buzz. Rick, just so you know, there's a revival of talk radio on Broadway coming up in February 2007, starring Lee F. Schreiber. I've seen the play as opposed to the movie, and a lot of it is not the writing. A lot of it is just Eric Bogosian. He's just irritating, and it pains me to say that because, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, because it's a movie that really very few people have ever seen. But Eric Bogosian is just, I want to like that guy so much, because he's a pretty good writer a lot of the time. He wrote a movie called Suburbia with Giovanna Ribisi.
What else do I know him from?
He is a bit player in a lot of movies. Have you seen Deconstructing Harry?
Yes.
He is Woody Allen's this is Woody Allen's term, not mine. This is how he is identified in the film. He is the Jewish with a vengeance brother-in-law.
Okay.
He is married to Woody Allen's sister in Deconstructing Harry, which is perhaps the finest Woody Allen film of the last 20 years. Anyway, so he's in that. He wrote this movie Suburbia with Giovanna Ribisi, Parker Posey. And he does some writing that I like. He wrote a play called Pounding Nails Into the Floor with My Forehead that I liked a lot. Talk Radio is one of those movies that I see about every 7 years thinking, this time it'll be good. And then it just never is. It's, like, interesting for the first 10 minutes because you're like, hey, that guy's doing what I do. And then it just becomes crap. Not unlike Natural Born Killers, which is the same way. I watched Natural Born Killers. I was just talking to Patrick and Nate about this the other day. I watched Natural Born Killers probably once every 8 or 9 months, thinking that somehow it will have turned into it, like it will have aged somehow and become a good film. And it never does. It's good all the way up to and through the Rodney Dangerfield sitcom sequence. And then it just becomes like an exercise in endurance. Then I just feel like Alex in A Clockwork Orange, like I'm just strapped into a chair being punished for something. Well, anyway. Okay, thank you, Scotty. Okay, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show live from the Hill. CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Hey, Rick. Oh, God bless Scotty. He knows I'm sitting here waiting for President Bush to step up, so, and he's like, okay, I'll tell him, make it quick.
No. He types on the screen, waiting for the president. Must go now. So you are waiting for the president to do what?
Well, you know, come on by. No, he's actually finishing up his meetings at the White House. At the Pentagon. What could be some of his last meetings, of course, with Secretary Rumsfeld and a couple of outgoing characters as well, not just Rumsfeld, but Rumsfeld intelligence, his intelligence chief who's leaving will be there. Also, UN ambassador and one of your favorites, John Bolton.
Bam!
So at that meeting, and then all of the chiefs of each branch of the armed services. And he was supposed to begin speaking 20 minutes ago, the president, addressing the press corps, giving an update on where things stand as far as his decisions on Iraq. But he hasn't started yet, an indication that these meetings, no surprise, are going long.
And what do you suppose, I mean, really, I would give anything to be in that room where it's like he's just meeting with Donald Rumsfeld. Just, I can't even imagine, I don't even have any jokes prepared. I can't even imagine what the conversation is like in that room. It's got to be the weirdest vibe ever. John Bolton, by the way, that's a guy, he's going to end up on like the board of a homeowners association or like a Rotary Club somewhere. And he will be the guy that goes white hot nuclear and beats somebody with a shovel for violating one of Robert's rules of order in about 18 months. Now you're going to see that. I told you that daffodils have to be 3 inches taller. And then he's just going to go crazy.
You never know. Maybe he'll be one of those guys, you know, sort of like my dad, who was the tough Navy commander, and then he came back and decided to be a counselor.
Yeah, so he's I've seen enough of war. Now it's time to spread peace.
No, who knows? Maybe he'll acquire, master something.
You just did a Rick right there where you went, you tried to end that in a flourish, and then it all just sort of fell apart.
It's all just, nah.
Real quick, because I know you got a kind of a...
Well, no, it's okay. Actually, what I was trying to tell Scotty, but he's so great. I think I've stressed him out enough in past days that he's got the reaction now, the Pavlovian impulse is in there, that I was going to say I can talk to it if the president starts speaking, but yeah, I'll need to go at some point. But
yeah,
I just wanted to let him know that I can put that on air if it happens.
That's the way to get Scotty under your control. The thing is to alternately praise and then threaten him.
Right.
It's kind of a pat him with one hand, smack him with the other kind of a thing. let me ask you this, and this sounds like a bad sort of dark joke, but it really is. These are CNN's words, by the way. President Bush held talks with top U.S. commanders and one of Iraq's vice presidents Tuesday, but will not announce any changes to the U.S. war effort in Iraq until after the New Year's holiday, the White House said. So, am I to infer from this, and most people use the word infer incorrectly, I do not. Am I to infer from this that George Bush, that they have the plan, and I don't know, it's sealed in some kind of advent calendar, and they're just waiting until the first to release it? I mean, really, if you have a new plan for Iraq, a way forward, a direction, whatever it is, really, what's the delay? Why don't you just get on the stick with this?
The truth is we don't know, but the line from the White House and from Tony Snow in these last 2 days has been the president is asking for more. He has more questions that aren't being answered by his guys, and they are being very careful. They're getting that exact question again and again. Do you have a plan now, and is this really just sort of sculpting out the eyelashes of the creature, or what is it? And Tony Snow is not saying, but it seems behind the scenes that the president probably has made, it sounds like he's made some major decisions, but there are a number of decisions which he still isn't finished making yet, and that's why. And that could be read for folks who like the Iraq Study Group as a potential good sign in that it looks like the president is not just considering do we increase troops or decrease troops, but perhaps he is looking at this as more comprehensively, another word that folks like to throw around these days. But maybe he is. Maybe he's saying, all right, it's not going to be enough to deal to monkey with the troop numbers. I've also got to deal with resource questions. I've got to deal with diplomacy in that entire region. I've got to deal with how the U.S. is perceived. I've got to deal with our equipment, their equipment, all of these things. And so maybe the president is being more comprehensive here, and that's why it's taking longer.
I would hope so. And when I say I hope so, here's the thing. It seems a given. I will take it as read, as the British say, that there's not going to be any decrease in the number of troops once the first of the year comes and he reveals this plan. And here's why I say that. Because the notion, even from an administration that has a sort of fanciful definition of integrity, the notion that they would have this plan done and sort of in the hopper to reduce troops that they would then just put it off until after the holiday is, you know, that they would have, in other words, have it in the pipeline to start bringing troops home from Iraq in whatever number, but then just inexplicably delay it. I mean, that's an idea and a notion that is just so vile as to defy description. It just seems obvious that there's not going to be any drawdown initially, because I can't fathom the American public would tolerate them getting ready to do that and then just putting it off for a while.
It does seem like there's a real divide between what the White House is saying or what they generally indicate and where, for instance, the Democrats are in Iraq in Congress. The Democrats saying, no, we have to pull troops out in order to motivate the Iraqis. We think if we do that, the Iraqis will have no choice but to get things together. And then, of course, the White House and Pentagon, what you hear more from them is, no, we think that the building violence will just become more chaotic, that the Iraqis aren't ready to take over, even if they wanted to.
All right. Well, okay. Yep. I do my best not to be cynical some days, but I tell you what, it really is an uphill struggle on some mornings. So I mean, I know there's
no.
Yeah, I'm just
so hard.
I'm just saying. I try. Rick Emerson tries to believe sometimes, but it is my.
The real key is, and here are these guys in Iraq. We still have, more than 100,000 troops, 130,000 troops over there, that they're still day-to-day dealing with the situation, and they are trying to make their own changes over there, trying to deal with, New York Times reported some potential plans that the U.S. generals over there have floated to the Iraqis, and the Iraqis have floated to them. But in the meantime, those guys are all kind of in limbo dealing with the situation as they wait. And everyone here says, okay, we want the right decision, we don't want a rush decision, but nonetheless, there is a definite time factor over there.
It just seems like such a public relations disaster in the making. I have to tell you, I don't know what the White House's PR people have got in mind for the next few weeks, but the idea of it being beamed onto my television, George Bush sitting by a roaring fire somewhere, eating some sort of sumptuously prepared holiday feast while there's some poor passel of guys over there sitting there eating sand for breakfast. I mean, it just seems like an image that is not going to play well with the great bulk of Americans. That would be my assessment. So,
well, certainly the Iraqis who are suffering the most, the American soldiers are it's very difficult for them as well. But it's interesting, you talk to some of those soldiers and folks who go over there, and they actually say, hey, the food is great, but what drives us crazy is we still can't get all the equipment that we want. You know, we get these great turkey dinners, and we get steaks, every now and then, but what we need is to have this equipment replenished more often because it just wasn't built.
Did you read that story the other day about this? There's a woman at some church back east, I forget exactly where she, for the holidays, she's trying to get the parishioners to gather up silly string to send to the troops because it's the only thing they can find to detect tripwires.
No kidding.
There is a story. Tim Riley had it. It was from, I want to say it was from Pennsylvania, but that might be wrong.
You can see that. I'll look for that. I'm not surprised.
It was a woman. She was trying to gather up silly string by the crate. I mean, just by the gross to send over because her son was like, they don't give us anything to detect tripwires. We spray that on the air, and it lands, and it'll show you where a tripwire for some sort of explosive is. So just there you go. All right, because I don't want to end on a downer. I know we have to wrap this up, but I don't want to end on a down. So here's what I want to end this.
2 minute warning for the president.
A what?
Like 2 minute warning.
Okay. So we can make this. We can make this quick, and we'll end on an up note here.
Right.
I have prepared a wacky morning show outro to this entire bit, and all it requires for you and Sarah to giggle in an insincere fashion. So
okay.
I am going to read this next item on the CNN prep sheet.
A minute 30.
I will then give my stupid morning DJ punchline, which I created, and then you guys will giggle, and then we'll be done.
Oh boy! All right.
Hey, the FDA discusses today whether antidepressants should carry warnings about increased suicidal thoughts. Maybe they should just carry an irony warning. And then you laugh.
Oh, and that's where we laugh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Never mind.
I was waiting for Sarah.
I was waiting for Lisa.
See, it's an irony warning because they're... Never mind. We're going to bring a curtain down on this whole sorry episode now.
I'm so sorry.
All right, Lisa Goddard. I will let you get to, I'll let you go cover the president, I
all
suppose.
Right.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, sister. Thank you very much. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. CNN. That was funny. Because an irony, because they're supposed to, but then suicidal. Ah! So I didn't end on as much of an up as I wanted to. We'll get DJ in a second about, I know my name is Steven. Pat, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick.
Hello, what's up?
Hey, well, we had another, don't tell me the truth, I know the facts kind of thing. your deal about the people that are captured having empathy for their captors or when they're kidnapped.
Yeah.
It's the Stockholm Syndrome, not Helsinki.
Isn't that what I called it, the Stockholm Syndrome?
No, you said the Helsinki.
Maybe it's because I can never remember which one is the capital of Sweden.
Yeah, well, they're both just south of Cleveland, so I can understand.
What is the capital of Sweden?
I think Helsinki.
See, I thought Helsinki. Now, what's the capital of Finland, then?
Finland.
I have no idea. Okay, so is there a Helsinki syndrome?
No.
Are you sure about that?
Unless it's dealing with something else, no. The one where you empathize with your captors is
the Stockholm syndrome, and that's the Patty Hearst thing, right?
Right.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Well, now I got
to. Hey, that thing where you go. Are you doing that from the Dustin Diamond? Because that sounds like Carl from Sling Blade.
That.
Yeah.
That's Dustin Diamond from his very exciting, and by exciting I mean horrifying, sex tape, Screeched.
Oh, well, I hope you don't get Carl calling in, because that's exactly, sounds exactly like him.
No, it is true. I could see that. No, that's a... Maybe Dustin Diamond is functionally retarded. All right. Thank you, sir.
Exactly, Carl. And Eric Bogosian is the new captain on Law & Order Criminal Intent.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's where I've seen him.
Well, good for him. I mean, I mean that sincerely. I'm glad he's getting work, because he is a guy that is talented, but just he's had such bad luck, because the one big project he ever had done, talk radio, was just not very good and not very successful. And then he's had a bunch of other projects, like he had a TV show called High Incident, and then he had a book called Mall, and it's just none of them really worked. They never really came together.
Yeah, I agreed with your sentiments about him in that radio movie, because he just was not a likable character.
No, that's the thing is, and I'm not going to go on and on about this, but after having gone on about this for like 48 minutes, the guy he's based on, Alan Berg, real quick story, because if you work in radio, or if you're interested in radio, you might already know about this, but Alan Berg, who Barry Champlain and Talk Radio is based on. That movie is based on a book called Talked to Death by a guy named Steven Singular. And it is about Alan Berg, who was a talk show host in Denver on a station called KOA, a legendary talk show host. And he is legendary because he was killed, basically. He was a Jewish talk show host,
right.
Gunned down by some guys from Washington State called The Order, who are a bunch of kooky, spooky, the Jews are running the media types. And they... He was armed with a lit cigarette, you know, so it was a fair fight and all. But they ambushed him in his driveway, machine gunned him to death, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, great guy, died way before his time. But that's who Eric... That's
the dynamics of that movie, I think, because you're supposed to have a protagonist and a bad guy, and they made the radio show...
Yeah, he's just an ass. You're watching the movie, and you're like,
right.
you're like I hate this guy.
You plugged, you're like halfway like thinking, oh, yeah, well, it was about time.
Yes, it's true. All right, thank you, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
There you go, All right, fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. DJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
What's up, DJ?
Just on my way home from work and heard you talking about my name is Steven. That was Steven Stainer.
Okay. Oh, okay, right. Okay, yes. This is the kid who was kidnapped and then realized it later.
Right. And when he was just getting his life together, he was living in Merced, California, and delivering pizzas for a popular pizza chain, and was killed by a drunk driver.
Oh.
And his brother, Kerry Stainer, worked for a lodge in El Portal, California, which is right outside Yosemite, killed two women and set their car on fire in Yosemite.
Oh, my God.
He was working as a maintenance person.
Well, okay. So it all ends badly. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I met Stephen because I lived in Merced, and then I spent 12 years in Yosemite working.
All right. And so he discovered. So he overcomes. He's kidnapped. He spends years in captivity. Realizes it. Makes a break for freedom. Finally, gets his life back. And then he and everybody in his family dies.
Good times.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, DJ.
All right, have a good one.
You too, sir. Thank you for listening. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And
a happy new year. Yeah, there you go. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hello. I know what the Helsinki Syndrome is. In Die Hard, they're interviewing a fictional author of a book called I think it's called the Helsinki Syndrome or something like that. They're obviously talking about the Stockholm Syndrome.
I think the book is called I am interviewing, I don't remember the doctor's name, I am interviewing blah, 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 the author of Terrorist, Hostage, Hostage, Terrorist, A Study in Duality.
Right, right.
Yeah!
Yeah, and then the blowhard anchorman goes, that's Helsinki, Sweden, and the doctor goes, no, Finland, actually.
How sad that I don't know the name of the real thing, but I know the name of a fictional book and its subtitle from Die Hard, and, as you can tell, that I'm really proud of that fact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And well, you should be.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
There you go. Call anytime. There you go. That's Mike. Okay. Let's break now, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's 503-733-2970. Around the corner, Tim Riley will be here with the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You say that. The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. I never thought about no future.